Good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation at Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Easter Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. If you started watching the video towards the beginning, I had the wrong slide up, so fix that for you. Easter Tuesday, yes, a dreary, cloudy day. It's raining. It's going to snow later. I think they're forecasting 48 inches this afternoon and evening. So happy April, right? So it is. Easter Tuesday, if you remember what I discussed yesterday, I'll just repeat it here again. There is a feast attached to the day because the account of what happened on the day is given to us in a way, right? So we have the conclusion of the Emmaus account with the breaking of the bread and prayers and the return at sunset on, well, I guess so it's not exactly the day. In any case, we have readings appointed, all right? And tomorrow we have divine service tomorrow evening. We're actually going to recognize Easter evening tomorrow evening, Wednesday of the week of Easter. So you can join us for that at 6:30 p.m. for a festival of sorts, divine service, a little bit more festive than what we usually do on Wednesday evening, all right? Of course, we have a musician, and that allows us to do a little bit more than what we are used to as well. Good. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I guess my camera is going to be a little gray today too. So it is. Let's pray our psalm for the week, Psalm 16, again, the psalm that was appointed for Easter sunrise. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, nor take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. If you didn't notice the psalm now, you did. I actually played a new setting of that from Dr. Blursch, who's at Concordia, Nebraska, where Ethan is a student. He teaches music there. A setting of it, Therefore My Heart is Glad, from CPH. That was I recorded it back in February and had to get them the finals the week before Holy Week. So it's been a busy time. So there you got to hear that setting. Let's say our verse for the week. This was the subject of our preaching on Sunday. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8. All right, and then our catechism, our confession for the week, second article of the creed, its explanation. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of his Father from eternity, or begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right. So Easter Tuesday could be a good feast day. We're going to hear the account of Pentecost, which we'll hear again, of course, at the Feast of the Pentecost. But you hear the institution of the church here, which is what is beginning to be accomplished even in the resurrection on that road to Emmaus. Yeah, that's the right reading. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you, or attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul to Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." There it is again. Psalm 16. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and at that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. All right, so there's the account of that we'll hear at Pentecost. Actually, Pentecost, I don't think we'll just hear the very end of it. But you'll note here the connection to Holy Week and Easter, which is why it's appropriate for this day. So the 11 rise up. Actually, I think we hear the first part of the account of chapter 2, yeah, at Pentecost, not the end, like we're hearing here. So he quotes from Prophet Joel, and he confesses that the vision of Joel had been fulfilled on the great and awesome day of the Lord, which would be Good Friday, right, where the moon is blood, the sun is turned into darkness. Of course, coming up in just a few days, 6 days, you've got the total eclipse that will cross. The last total eclipse, I think, that crossed the U.S. was in 2017, so about 5 years ago. These are signs, of course, but not, of course, signs of the sign, which is of Christ and him crucified. Peter says, this was fulfilled for you. You saw it. You saw the total eclipse, however that was caused, whether it was supernatural or God attaching his word to a natural sign, one that he caused anyway to occur. And of course, the earthquakes and whatnot that happened on that day. And fear and trembling came upon them. Every name that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, right? Which is what's going to happen here at the Pentecost. So Peter uses that as a jumping off point. Maybe it was even the reading appointed for that day. That's certainly possible. And he's preaching on the text that they had just heard in the temple. And then, of course, this is all according to God's word, right? So again, we have the prophet Joel, and then we're going to have the in another way, David being prophetic in Psalm 16, that this is according to the foreknowledge and purpose of God. This was determined by God. Nothing is happening by chance. This is as God had ordained it. And of course, Peter can make such an assertion because repeatedly Jesus had told the disciples of what he would do, and then he did it, right? Note too that the specific verse here, verse 27, for you will not leave my soul in Hades. So Peter's working with the Septuagint here, the Greek translation. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That is fulfilled in Christ himself, and that he was in the tomb and yet did not bear the rot and destruction of the tomb, because he was raised up by the Father, all right? And then he quotes Psalm 110, which is the most frequently quoted, Psalm 110, verse 4, I think is the most frequently quoted scripture in the New Testament. It's the one of the sermon texts for Hebrews, for the book of Hebrews, so that pads the numbers a little bit. Of course, you'll see the assertion here as you might say that Peter is being the threshing ox who's treading out the grain and removing the chaff of unbelief. All right. By preaching the law here, this Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. All right. When they heard this, they asked, what must we do? Which is really the wrong question, because they can do nothing. But Peter then rightly responds in the passive, repent, or be repented, if you want to translate it that way, and be baptized. Again, both repentance and baptism are gifts of God that are worked by the Holy Spirit through the word. Of course, they receive the Holy Spirit in that gift too. And this promise, now, this is a really important point, is to you and to your children, the promise of repentance for and baptism for the remission of sins. Children belong in church. But notice who Peter addresses, all right? Peter addresses the men. Now, this is not a popular teaching today, but it is the way that God has ordained creation from the beginning to have, you know, the serpent tries to speak to the woman apart from the man, right? That's Genesis 3. Why would he do that? Because he's seeking to undermine Adam's role in teaching the faith to his wife, or correcting her when she is rebuked. Of course, Adam falls down on the job anyway. It's revealed in Genesis 3 that he was standing there the whole time as the serpent was tempting Eve. So he failed in that job. But again, that doesn't negate the truth that God speaks by way of the head of the household, by way of the father, as a husband to his wife, and then as father to his children. This is how God ordained it. And this is, of course, then why the office of the ministry in the household of faith, that is in the Christian congregation, is given to one man who serves then as, or could be many men, I suppose, in a large congregation, who then serves as the spiritual father for the congregation. Where that father is undermined or sidelined, God's word suffers. This is always true, all right? And so it is appropriate then to encourage and to uphold men in their sacred vocations as fathers and husbands, in particular, not only guiding and protecting and providing, but specifically by way of God's word, right? So one of the, I would say, lamentable things that has happened in the Christian church over the last, let's say, it's at least a generation or more, and it's actually been truth since the beginning of time, is that we have not encouraged and maybe unintentionally discouraged young boys, young men from serving as the spiritual heads of or as spiritual guides in the congregation. So we'll continue to work to do that. We have the men's ministry here. At God willing, that will transform into a group of core elders, men who can serve then as with the confidence of God's word, for the benefit of the congregations, but especially even for their households. All right. So that's, but that's not just a patriarchal kind of notion. It is the way that God ordained things. And it does bear fruit, as we see here in the book of Acts, where, you see this with the Philippian jailer, which I quoted on, on Saturday evening. So that was, Acts 16. You see it here at Pentecost. 3,000 souls are baptized. Why? Because God's good order is at work here with word and spirit and conviction of fathers and then fathers to their children, you see. All right. And note two, this is one of, I think, a lot of people's favorite note here is that the time of the Acts of the Apostles, probably not all that different than our time. It's described as a perverse generation. And you know, there was a, I didn't make a deal out of it because I think that's was the idea is that they wanted attention brought to it. But you know, March 31st happened to coincide with Easter this year, and so you had the President Obama's proclamation of Transgender Day of Visibility or something, is, and it happened to be on Easter, and so Easter was discouraged by our the Office of the President, and the transgenderism visibility was promoted. If there's nothing more perverse, I don't know what is. Whether he knew about it or not, I don't think he's actually doing anything. I think it's just everybody that has been created for a cabinet that are actually running the show. So maybe he didn't know anything about it. And even so, there was no Christian iconography allowed in the White House celebration of Easter either. That was quite intentional too, right? Well, that's fine. They're demonstrating their perversity and why you would put your faith or trust in anyone serving in that left-handed kingdom role. I don't know why you would have ever done that, but I think people did for a great deal of recent history, put far more faith and confidence, trust in secular government, especially to guide and preserve culture. Why? Yep, it shows you their mindset. Whoever made that choice, whether it was social media or whatever, they are a perverse generation. We are actually living in the midst of a perverse generation. So what was true on 2,000 years ago is still true today. Maybe more true than it had been, but just as true then as it is today. All right. So a lot of catechesis there, but worthy of your consideration. And then the gospel text for this day is the conclusion of that Road to Emmaus account, which we heard yesterday. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." And they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." All right. So we actually have the readings kind of out of order, don't we? Because here we have the promise of what was fulfilled there in Acts chapter 2. That promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high that they would be endued or clothed in, which is also, the Spirit is also called here, the promise of my Father. He's called the same in John. All right. And they are to wait in Jerusalem for these things. But for what purpose? All right. What's the purpose of the giving of the Holy Spirit for them? That they would preach repentance and remission of sins in his name to everyone, to all ethne. Nations is fine. Ethnics might be a better translation for you. Ethnicities, if you prefer, people groups, maybe tribes, maybe to all. But see, then we have every tribe and nation. It really is a different word. Anyway, it's all people. That's the point. And how are they to do that? By revealing to the people how Jesus fulfills everything written in the law of Moses and of the prophets and the Psalms, right? And so notice what he does. The same thing he did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he now does with the rest of the disciples in the upper room, which is that he opens their understanding that they might comprehend scriptures, the scriptures. So what he does is he teaches the scriptures, which they already know, but he puts them to stand under them, right? So how does one understand the scriptures? Well, that is that you stand under them with Christ as their head or as the purpose or fulfillment. All right. The other important reason for this particular gospel text in the resurrection accounts is the testimony of the bodily resurrection. All right. Of course, this is going to be a contentious point for Christians, even from Christ's own resurrection and ascension, is how can he be bodily present for us? Was he actually raised in the body, or was he just a spirit? Of course, many will accuse Christians of believing, you know, fiction, because how can anyone rise from the dead? No, here, handle me and see, right? Touch me. And also, here, I'm going to eat in front of you. Spirit can't do that either. All right. And broiled fish and honeycomb. There's all sorts of things that the ancients talk about with that, which is kind of fun, but I'll spare you the details. So we have a bodily resurrection. And if Christ is raised from the dead in the body, then we too will be raised from the dead in the body. This is our hope and confidence for those Christians who have died. And then also here again, that he places us under the scriptures, that we would understand them, and that and the purpose of the scriptures then is that we would preach repentance and the remission of sins in his name. All right. And the only way that any of this is going to happen is by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of my Father, which of course he gives. Okay. We've got a comment here. All sorts of comments. 1 Corinthians 15, yes, of course. Proverbs 12, yes. Proverbs 1:23, good. Many quotes. Romans 6, you're all dropping it out. Yeah, there's many such scriptures to bear witness to the same truth. I would suggest that the reason why we have kind of a depravity of doctrine is that we actually have an illiteracy to the scripture. So seeing you all drop that in the comments is terrific. Thank you for that. Knowing the scriptures is to know doctrine, actually. Good. So we'll come back to this. We'll do a more thoroughgoing catechesis on it once the children resume school. All right. But there's an introduction with some of my consideration today. Yesterday, we sang stanzas 1 and 2 of our hymn of the week. So let's sing 3 and 4 today. Our commenter with the Proverbs reminds me that I'm looking, and I haven't found a good one yet. A proverb schedule. I think I'm just going to have to create one so that we can have a daily proverb as well. It's something I've lamented. We get some wisdom from the Psalms, of course. The Psalms, they are the hymns of the church, but they're also they do contain quite a bit of wisdom literature as well, and serve that function, but not quite as strongly as the Book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. So I think that may come along at some point here, and I can introduce that as part of our daily catechesis as well. I haven't spent a lot of time searching for such a thing, but every once in a while I remember to look and then forget to follow through. All right, so thank you for that. All right, let's pray the collect for this day, for Easter Tuesday. Here we are. Almighty God, through the resurrection of your Son, you have secured peace for our troubled consciences. Grant us this peace evermore, that trusting in the merit of your Son, we may come at last to the perfect peace of heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. There's that First Peter text, isn't it? We pray this day for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. We also pray this day for the households of our church, especially that of Gary and Barb, Jim, Paul, Deb, Robert, and Renata, our catechumens, all those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Dennis, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, and the rest of the Yench family, Carol, Mike, Doug, Courtney, Ruth, recovering at home, Renata and Joan, both in rehab, Sandy, BJ, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the our mission of the month, which is the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Continue to pray for the church planting work in Greene County by Pastor Benish. We ask the Lord to grant new enrollment for our school. We've added a few, so he is answering our prayers. We give thanks to God for that. And we pray with those grieving, the family of Merlin Speaker. We also want to add to our prayers the family and friends of Richard Wegner, who was our teacher and principal before he retired. I think he retired from here, right? Yeah. Also taught, I'll post the obituary. This is interesting to me. He taught at Emmanuel in Tipton, so not far from where I grew up. And also, so he taught for 43 years in Lutheran schools. St. Martini in Milwaukee, Holy Cross in Austin, Minnesota, and then both middle school and principal here at St. John Sherman Center, and died in the Lord just yesterday. The funeral will be on Saturday up north, so we have both Merlin and our principal Wagner's, teacher Wagner's funeral on the same day, unfortunately. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's our congregation of prayer for today, this Easter Tuesday. So good to have you with us here. You're welcome for the live stream. Thanks for participating, jumping in there. I'm not going to read all of Proverbs 12, 19, but you can go check that out at your own. I encourage everyone who is here to look at those links and follow up with those. That will help your meditation today. All right, so God be with you all. Keep you strong in the faith. Encourage one another in your God-given vocations, and we'll see you again in the morning. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.